Hello and welcome to the Market Podcast powered by Money Control. Well, my name is Shataj Anand and today I have with me a very special guest, Amit Vora, who's a director and chief investment officer of Max Life Insurance, who manages an AUM of over 70,000 crores. Well, welcome to the podcast, Amit.
Good morning, Shataj. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for having me here.
Right. Well, Mr. Vora, the first question I wanted to put it across to you is that, markets have rallied more than 40% from the low since March. In fact, the recovery has been fast and furious. What is your take on the markets now? And do you think the market has run up ahead of fundamentals and a cool off could be around the corner?
Yes, Shataj. The market does look a bit expensive, especially given the fact that we don't have earnings coming in for FY21 and we're building in hopes of a good recovery in FY22, but that's really a bit far away in the time horizon. So as of now, the markets are frankly looking through the FY21 results and basically discounting the FY22 results. But having said that, a couple of things, FY22 is still a bit far away.
Yes.
And even if you look at the current consensus estimates of FY22, the market is not cheap, even by those optimistic assumptions of FY22. So I think there's a bit of a froth here.
All right. There's a bit of froth and investors should be cautious at this point in time. That's the message coming from Mr. Vora. Well, the next question here is that the recent rally in the markets could be on the back of vaccine for COVID-19. But do you think we could actually see a sell-off on the news? The market could play out that scenario, the famous one, that buy on rumors and sell on news. What is your take on that?
See, the vaccine has several stages. One is we need to kind of go through the larger tests once the efficacy is established at the lower number of testing level. So I think that's going to take at least 2 to 3 months. And second is, even after you have the vaccine, there is a question of scaling it up. How fast can you produce enough quantities of vaccine? Make sure that a large percentage of the population gets admitted. So I think it's an exercise which will not be able to successfully get completed within 6 to 9 months. So it's going to be a long drawn affair. Having said that, given that there are 2 or 3 very viable options as of now, as we have seen the announcements of the Oxford vaccine, and so there is optimism on that front, and I'm quite bullish that the vaccine will be found very soon and the efficacy will be proven very soon. But rollout of that will take time. And in the meantime, we've already done 4 months of this lockdown and we are still not getting out of complete lockdown in a lot of cities.
Yes.
So the recovery is not as sharp as it should be.
Well, that's right. In fact, we're also looking for the vaccine to come soon and we can restore the economic process as soon as possible. As you rightly said, the opening up of the economy has not been as sharp as we would one like. Well, the next question I wanted to put it across to you is from the foreign institutional space. In fact, FIs have been net buyers for the past 4 sessions. Okay, and that also added to the positivity to the markets, while DIs were net sellers so far in the month of July in the cash segment. In fact, that is probably one of the reasons why both Sensex and Nifty managed to reclaim crucial levels, 38,000 on the Sensex, Nifty 50 also back above 11,200. Well, do you think the FIs are now ready to buy the India story?
The FII money that we have seen has come in after a bit of a lull, and it's positive. But I think it's more a function of the global trends rather than India-specific trends. So I think the bit of money that we're getting from FIIs is after the US markets have run up a lot, the Nasdaq especially has run up a lot, as is at all-time highs. So I think a relative valuation play is happening between the US markets and the rest of the world, especially emerging markets like India. It actually depends on the US markets continuing to do well, because if there's a global correction, then I don't think we'll see the continuation of those flows. But if I can spend a minute on flows, one of the very stark developments over the last 3-4 months is the Indian retail investor. And I've written about it, so you may have seen it. The retail investor trading volumes in the Indian equity markets has shot up exponentially in the last 3-4 months. Now, we don't explanation for that. But the fact is that retail brokerage houses, the discount brokerage houses, are seeing a record number of account openings every month.
Yes.
Almost three times what they used to be, say, in the December to January, you know, months. Mm-hmm. So that's a phenomenon which is kind of driving the markets, you know, much higher than what one would have expected it to go.
Right. Well, we'll come to the retail question, you know, once I'm through with this one. But definitely, we'll touch with this topic again in this, you know, podcast. But for now, you know, COVID is far from over, and as you rightly pointed out in the podcast as well, and you know, it would take some time before the economic activity starts displaying green shoots. But what are the themes, according to you, that could actually still outperform amid the COVID environment?
So there are three things that we believe should outperform the rest of the Indian economy. Mm-hmm. One is the rural economy.
Yes.
Because of a good monsoon last year, the reservoir levels are at all-time high. Mm-hmm. This monsoon also seems to be going on pretty well. And we have had government really roll out the MNREGA and increase the MNREGA allocations ever since the COVID crisis happened. And I think a lot of that money has already reached the target mm-hmm. audience in rural segments. Mm-hmm. So I think a combination of all these three leads us to believe that the rural economy is doing much better than the urban economy. Mm-hmm. And even joblessness at the rural level is improving, unemployment is improving at a better pace than the rural economy. So that's one theme that we believe will outperform the rest of the local economy. And that means segments like low ticket consumption, items like FMCG, mm-hmm. paints, two-wheelers, tractors, maybe even small cars to some extent. So that's one theme that we believe should do better. Mm-hmm. Second is, as we initially touched upon, the fact that the Indian recovery seems to be a bit slower than the global economy.
Yeah.
And that's because of the massive monetary and stimulus, fiscal stimulus measures that Europe, Japan have taken, mm-hmm. which has led to their economic recovery being almost like a V shape compared to us, which is probably going to be a bit drawn out. So by that logic, what we are doing is we're playing the segments catering to the US economy and the European economy, which is basically through IT. And mm-hmm. of course, farmer is the theme because of the export nature and the COVID-led developments for pharma. So IT, pharma, some of the auto ancillaries, which are global exporters, that theme basically should do well. Essentially, we are saying that the global economy might recover a bit faster than the Indian economy. And the third theme that we are playing is the Make in India theme. And the fact that we are now consciously de-risking away from Chinese imports,
right.
And so is the world. So government has declared packages for the electronics industry, for the pharmaceutical industry. And I think there are many other industries where the government will actively go out and woo global and local investments. So I think these are some of the key themes that we are playing, the three key themes that we are playing at this point in time.
Right. Well, I'm sure listeners will take a note of that. And lastly, you touched about the new investors which have actually, you know, come into the equity markets. So which are the mistakes, especially for so-called Robin Hood investors or new age investors, that one should avoid in the equity markets at this point in time? And, you know, they've come in right now and, we've seen an environment which no one has actually seen before. I mean, this is happening for the first time, at least for any one of us.
The one message that I would like to kind of convey is that ultimately money is made by investment, not by trading.
Mm-hmm.
There's a minuscule minority of people who actually make money trading on a consistent basis. Consistent is the key word. You know, you make money in a day or a few days and then you lose. That's not consistency. So there are very, very few highly skilled or maybe lucky people mm-hmm. who make money by trading. But ultimately the real money is made by long-term investing. So that's one thing that people should be aware of. And even if you want to trade, it should not be with a large part of your capital, probably dedicate a smaller part of your capital and build a long-term investment portfolio.
Well, all right. I'm sure the new investors will take a note of that. Well, thank you, Mr. Vora, and listeners for tuning into this edition of Special Podcast. But do stay log on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business and economy. Again, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you, Shirish.